to Brothers and Balrogs, the podcast where four brothers pretend to be four brothers. I am your Dungeon Master, Noah Pryor, and with me are my brothers.
Drew Pryor.
Ransom Pryor.
Guys, we can't.
Justice Pryor. No, this is our bit. Come on, yeah, Justice, well, hang on, no, keep going. Justice, go ahead. Yeah.
Justice Pryor.
There we go.
And Drew, what? Who do you play on the podcast, and what is their subclass and class?
I play Z, the barbarian with the path of the Demogorgon.
I play Ellis. I'm a wild magic sorcerer and the hot one of the bunch.
I play Will. I am a phantom rogue and the sneaky one of the bunch.
Ooh, the sneaky one. I'm really trying to set up like kind of an NSYNC One Direction boy band type thing with our little group where it's like, oh, which one do you like? And it's like, well, you know, like Ellis, you know, he's the bad boy, the pretty one, the cool one. Like he's kind of all of those mixed into one. And then Will's the sneaky one. And I think Z's the big one. And does that seem like fair?
Which one is Isaac?
Huh?
The manager.
He's Simon Cowell in this situation. The manager. Yeah, he's Simon Cowell. Yeah, he looked at all of them and he said, now these boys will sell me records.
He would probably be the lead that if he broke up, everything would fall apart. Like if he left the band, you know, because he was writing all the songs, keeping them together, you know. Mm-hmm. He left and they'd probably travel the world to try and figure out where it went. And hopefully not encounter the shunting. You know, just like
I have a really good joke. Hang on. Wait. One second. One Direction album. Oh, shoot. Give me one second. This is going to be really good. After Zane left. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Cut that out. So what you're saying is that this whole podcast is just like One Direction's Made in the AM record.
I'm sure that the people that love Brothers and Balrogs and are really into One Direction is a, like, the Venn diagram has a lot of overlap, I'm sure.
I think it's a circle.
It's just one circle. Yeah.
Just a big circle.
Or oddly, a spiral.
Spiral. So yeah, we are now three episodes into our campaign. And how is everybody feeling? I feel like we're kind of starting to hit our stride. This episode is pretty straightforward. There's a lot less setup and more just role play, which I enjoyed.
I really liked it. I think that like now that we kind of know the characters and we have like a direction to go, like we like more than just like gathering up the group and trying to figure out where to go. Now we actually have like a set goal. I think that it's been really fun to play because it kind of feels like we're playing it now. You know what I'm saying? Like before it was still fun, but it was like almost like just like setting up a series. That cool first few episodes of a series or first few chapters of a book where you're getting to know all the characters and everything's going.
Yeah.
It's all coming together. And then by the time they actually leave the Shire, it starts going crazy, you know, like, and I think that we're in that era of it now. And, it's fun, you know, I'm digging it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I was a lot less stressed out about this episode because I was so concerned with the two episodes. Like making sure that the world feels right is so like pivotal to latching on to a story. So this episode, I felt like I was able to just kind of breathe for the first time.
That's good.
And just kind of let things go where they go and just play D&D. So
let it all hang loose. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does anybody have any favorite moments? Just right
Justice,
off
you
bat?
Don't get to talk. Justice, you don't get to talk. It's not your turn.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, no, continue.
I shouldn't have even tried.
No, what'd you say? I totally missed it.
I was just saying that, like, with it finally hitting its stride, I liked that there were actually pressures and like threats to the characters in this session, which was oddly enough the one after the real combat. But like Ellis, which I'm for the first time of what I'm sure is going to be many, many occasions, Ellis was dying very quickly on the floor. And like we had to kind of resolve that. And then had like a mini chase scene. And that just felt like D&D, you know, like that was just like a lot going on really fast, a lot of roles and less setup, just going, you know, and I really liked that a lot.
Yeah, totally. And oh my gosh, that nat one, your very first death save of the whole show was a nat one.
Listen, I promised the fans.
That terrified me. I was like, what are we going to do?
Terrified you?
If Ellis just dies on this in the third episode.
Welcome to Brothers of Balrogs. Two brothers trying to find their third brother to tell them that their other brother is now dead. He died on the first day of their adventure.
You made him go out of the house and he died. Like, what'd you think was going to happen?
Say what you will about Juno. She is extremely efficient.
That's true.
Yeah, no, that was... It does set a frightening precedent for the rest of the campaign, though. I was joking about that, but before we really started, both of our characters, we were joking. We're like, oh, man, we can both die so easily. That was, like, that made it real. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, no. Either of us could get one shot so fast by, like, a lot of things. So... Hopefully we won't just die.
What's so funny is that I was listening to the second episode, which is today, which is like the only episode where Will actually takes damage. And you were so scared, but you had only taken 9 damage. And what's funny about that, I think you were rightfully scared, but you had only taken 9 damage. It just goes to show you how few hit points Will has.
That was a third of my total. That was... I knew you rolled bad. I was like, that next hit could kill me.
100%. If you had stayed in it one more round, if it had reached, like, it's one of those things where you take damage at the top of the monster's turn every round, as long as you're in it. So it's like, you would have died. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think there's going to be just... Partly,
and just so our listeners know, Drew is also here. He's just not talking. I promise I don't edit him out.
I talk He's when busy. I got something to say. I'm just listening. I'm being a good listener.
It's funny. When I looked at Drew's like little picture on Discord, he was just looking dead into the camera, just dead straight, eyes unblinking, just like wide open, looking straight forward.
He still is.
He still is now, but he seems more aware of it. Like, to me, it seemed like it was somebody else kind of looking through Drew's eyes for a moment.
Drew, there's a fly.
Drew, can you get the fly?
There's a fly on your eye.
Drew, do you see the fly? Drew.
Guys, I think he may have just made a very good lifelike statue of himself.
No, I thought it was Drew.
This is a classic Drew prank.
Classic.
That's the thing. Drew's not Z's not the big one. He's the pranky one. He's the schemey one.
I'm known for the fact that I mess with people constantly. That's my whole shtick.
Drew's known for his dishonesty.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys have any? Go on.
Okay.
Justice, what did I say? What did I say? You don't get to talk. Noah, continue, please.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that, like, partly out of just my strategy of the game and mostly out of a preservation for the plot, I think there's going to be a lot of running and hiding for me. Just so that we don't have to... right around one of us dying.
To be fair, that's also your skill set. Like,
it is also my skill set.
That is, but, like, at least 80% of the skill set of the rogue is to run and hide
and throw a knife,
yeah,
and then go hide in a drawer again.
Bless you, Noah. I think. Did you sneeze or did you burp? It's weird that I have to ask for clarification on that. But
well, see, I wasn't looking at the screen, and it was really distorted.
Like, it sounded kind of like a vine boom. People are rolling in their seats right now. They're rolling in their seats. They're dying laughing. I've killed hundreds of thousands with that joke.
Don't listen to this while you're driving. It's
not safe. It's not safe.
We need to put in the description, we will not be held liable for any crashes caused by uncontrollable laughter.
Due to Ransom's two absolute bangers that he drops in today's episode.
Honestly, that would be a really fun description just to have in under like every episode. Like just in any episode description is like, we are not responsible for any car wrecks due to uncontrollable laughter.
And to also just have like below that, a completely random thing that we're not liable for. Like we're just like just oddly specific of just, we're not liable for that. And also we are not liable for a red polka dotted ostrich pecking out your eyes. That's not on us.
That wasn't us.
If that happens, that wasn't
us. We had nothing to do with it. We are not liable due to car crashes. We are not liable for car crashes caused by in uncontrollable laughter. We are also not liable for whatever happened to Princess Diana. We were not there. We had nothing to do with it. Okay? We had nothing to do with it.
Don't ask us.
Do not ask us. Do not blame us. We are not liable.
But you know what we are liable for?
The death of the actual queen?
What?
Queen Elizabeth?
I didn't know that.
That was Drew. Drew did it. I have receipts. No. Drew killed the queen. Start telling your friends that. Start telling your friends that Drew killed the queen. What are we liable for, Noah?
So, did anybody have any...
what are we liable for, Noah?
No, I just want to think of
what are we liable
come on
for?
No, I was going to take it somewhere, but I don't know how to connect it.
No, come on, man. Try it. Worst case scenario, we cut it out.
I was going to try to connect it to the Adventure Zone again, but then I realized it didn't make any sense because we were joking about legal battles with them,
yes.
But liability isn't really... connected.
They stole from us.
You can't copyright Being Brothers. That doesn't mean we can't.
So did you
TMNT better pay up. The Brothers Grimm? That's a lot of years of royalties.
I will never be able to start the official part of this podcast.
Coen Brothers? I'm sorry, Coen Whats? You better send us some money. My Venmo's Ransom_Prior.
So, do any of you have a favorite part of this most recent episode?
I personally enjoyed rolling really bad on stealth and just getting to make the correct character decision to walk through the front door.
It would have been the most like calm, laid back robbery ever. He just would have walked in and be like, "So, I'll be taking what you have now."
I don't want any trouble. Literally, I'm just going to grab it and I'm going to walk out. Like there's no reason for me to hurt you. You can't hurt me. I'm just getting
hit over with a broom just over and over again. And you're just like picking things up.
It's like, man, that is really unnecessary. Like, I'm just trying to handle my business.
Yeah. That being said, it is interesting because what's your take on Miss Hennessy? She apparently has more knowledge than meets the eye. Does that mean she is maybe a little bit more, maybe the way she was interacting with Z is a bit of a show as well?
Listen, I haven't trusted her since day one. I think that she is behind all of this.
Well, last breakdown, I think you said Fodder was behind everything.
Well, yeah, he is.
No, I never said that. They said that.
I think it's still pretty obvious that Fodder's behind
everything. They don't trust Fodder. They also don't think Fodder's alive. I know for a fact that Fodder is alive.
Oh, yeah. Drew, we got to keep track of that. We bet to see if Fodder would be alive. Which one of us bet that he would?
No. Like 10 gold. I bet you 10 gold that Fodder wouldn't make it to the ship.
So you want Will wants Fodder to make it to the ship?
Yes. Yeah. That is the. Yeah, I remember that.
But Noah has thrown more story in between us and the ship now. And so your chances are decreasing rapidly.
Yeah, because every day that Fodder's out on the town.
With every episode of story, Fodder's chances go
higher. They go higher every time. It's crazy because he's on the grind. He's getting stronger.
Even if he makes it to the ship, I think you should just roll like a constitution every day. Like every session. Just be like, does Fodder die today?
He could just like die in his sleep.
And we're all like, no.
Y'all took a long rest, and it's like, well, actually we should probably save our long rest because we don't know if Fodder will. We need Fodder for tomorrow. And you never know.
The plan we made, Fodder has to live. So do we take the chance that Fodder could die in his sleep, or do we let Fodder do this plan with one level of exhaustion? He just has to stay up.
Is it equal chance?
Because it's less likely that he'll just die if he stays up all night.
Awake, yeah. If he's awake the whole time.
Because he won't pass peacefully.
A higher chance of living.
That could make sense.
I think that my favorite part, it's kind of hard to pin down. I'm admittedly biased, you know, like the stuff that really gets me excited is the stuff about my character, you know. I really liked the whole fireball thing. It kind of mm-hmm. felt like a here's why that was cool thing.
Building on this idea, the seed that was kind of planted one of the first roles that you made, which was that insight check on Rhea, where she was like, you're one of the best sorcerers I've ever met. And you were able to see, like, you know, she kind of added the one of, and that she might know something that even you're not fully aware of, that there's something about you that is different. And so I'm excited to kind of expand upon that. I also just loved this concept because sorcerers are so interesting in D&D because they're kind of notorious for not having to work for their spells. I think it's more interesting that even if, yes, the power is innate within you, that you still have to like train to be able to channel it. That idea just makes me more excited. I think it'll be more interesting when it comes time for you to add spells to your list, that you have to kind of, we'll have to like figure that out roleplay wise. It's not just, oh, I'm going to add these spells to my list. It's like, oh, I have to like train to be able to learn how to do this new thing. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. It's going to be really cool.
And I'm curious to see more about the leader of the evocation school. She seems like a pretty hardcore person.
Yeah, Polaris.
Yeah, she's just like, I will heal you or burn down your village as I see fit. and I have the power to do it. But yeah, like her dynamic with Ellis was pretty fun, of the person who deeply, deeply values and respects magic, and the person who's like not really wanting to do it. It was just like, I'm excited to see more of that.
Yeah, I know she's kind of anti Ellis in all the best ways.
Best ways?
Most interesting ways.
Sure, sure.
She doesn't like you because of who you are.
I don't.
So you said that like it was gonna make me feel better.
No, it's just like two different ways of looking at it, like where they don't really agree on much. You know, it's the classic thing where, you know, the person that takes it so seriously and cares about it so much isn't the one with the power. You know,
she's like me in my college experience. I won't get into it. Don't. I won't get into it here. I don't want to. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on. So one thing I will mention to anyone out there who heard us say three times now that Ellis is a wild magic sorcerer, and have also noticed that we haven't rolled for wild magic in any of the three episodes that are out right now and are wondering what's going on. Like we said at the in the very first episode of the breakdown, we're doing something, we're flavoring it a little bit different, and we're going to be building onto it. So just hang tight. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah. Shut up, nerds.
Yeah. And also the people that are wondering when Will's subclass is going to come into play at all. Be patient. I guarantee you it'll happen.
I'm also wondering that.
I guarantee you we'll be delving into both things in episode 4. I promise.
And to the rest of you who are completely satisfied with Z,
you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people are getting plenty of the Demogorgon the past couple episodes. Again, like I was kind of mentioning at the top of this episode, it's really hard to kind of introduce everybody to this world. It's so much exposition, but I don't want to drop like 4-hour episodes. I want this to feel like a TV show. I want it to be paced like a TV show. And so like we can't learn about everybody's subclass classes in the first three episodes. We got to keep the story moving. So it'll we're waiting for it to come naturally and be revealed as we go along. I think it'll be more satisfying that way anyway. So
did we talk about Justice's favorite part?
We did. We didn't talk about Drew's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was the other way around. I don't think we've done mine yet.
Oh, sorry.
Look who's paying attention now. Play my theme music. It is funny to me that I said play my theme music and started doing the John Cena theme, and Drew just at the same time was John Cena. He didn't skip a beat.
He didn't even look up and see your finger. He just knew it.
I didn't know that was a John Cena thing. That was just the first theme song that came to my head.
Yeah.
I went into my little mind vault area that is just like a big slot machine of like information I know. And so I just typed in like the prerequisite theme, like theme music. And just like hit it. And John Cena was the first one that showed
John
up.
John Cena. John Cena. Okay. Seven.
Seven. Aww.
Theme. No energy. Jackpot. Not the name.
Yeah, if I got all three John Cenas, then I would actually know the whole song. But I only know the one horn line.
All right. So, Justice, what's your favorite part?
Oh, now you at no.
Wow. Now you care, Noah. Okay.
Noah's gonna edit this to make up for his mistake. He's gonna put Justice's favorite later.
And was it like ready? This is the thing. Noah's going to cut this out. He was saying, all right, we're good, guys. And we said, well, what about Justice? We had to talk Noah into keep recording. Okay. He left the call. We had to talk him back into coming back. Okay. He's going to edit this out. He's going to edit this out. I know he will.
Well, here's the best move I can do, though, because now I'm definitely going to leave it in, and it's going to make you all look bad and show that you are the ones that are bullying me. So checkmate.
All right, I'm gonna be quiet for Justice's turn.
Okay.
So somebody praise me for that, please. I really sorry.
Oh my god.
I don't even have a favorite part anymore. Yeah, for my favorite part of the session, I think it was honestly just the series of events of Will attempting to threaten Juno. Just like, you don't want to see the other guy. It's going to go bad for you. And then like how perfectly the roles went of Z just like sliding through the door and then just nearly killing her. Like, just like as this most intimidating creature just like going through of just like... It was just fun to imagine of just Will just standing there just like, trust me, it's in your best interest. He will kill you. Give up. Look. And then a literal monster. But yeah.
Yeah, truly. That was so hard because like Juno is supposed to be very cool. She's a mercenary that is like not supposed to be scared of things. And yet, like, again, you were, you told her exactly what was going to happen, and then it happened, and then it was really scary. And she, you know what I'm saying? Like, and again, it's, so it was like so hard, because I was like, man, I don't want to make this person look like they are like a wimp. But at the same time, I'm like, I what else do you do in this situation? Like, she got hit so hard.
What reasonable human being doesn't run?
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
but what person with any kind of intelligence?
She kind of, she panicked at the beginning, and she was a little overconfident at the beginning, and she just kind of took a shot in the dark, literally. And I mean, again, and she's extremely proficient. It, in a different, if she was able to actually hide from Will, if she didn't roll so bad on her stealth check, this could have been a very different fight. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, she only rolled a 10 on the die. If she had rolled higher, Will might not have been able to spot her. And she could have easily picked off Will, maybe killed him in one shot. And then, like, you know, there's a real possibility where she could have knocked you all down. But just the way that the roles were, and you guys played it so well to just, like what reasonable person wouldn't run? Like... Like, she realized, like, oh no, they're onto me, you know, and this guy is insane. Like, I am going to die.
That dude's very tall. That dude is like unreasonably tall.
Like, huge. She's a very gifted assassin. She's not a tank, you know. She cannot take the hits.
Yeah, and I was just really excited because me and Drew hadn't talked about that, but as I was trying to in character make that threat as Will, in my mind I was hoping Z would do exactly what he ended up doing. Like, in the back of my mind, I was like, all right, I really hope he busts through that door in that way and gets like those hits. And then it just totally went off like that, and I was like, yes, like, oh, it's perfect.
Yes.
But
oh man, just slamming her up against the wall, like, it's just like, oh my gosh, like, it was so intense and scary. Like, so again, I think that there's an imbalance of information still, where Justice, the player, knows more about the circle of the skull, as we know now that they are called, than the other players. What are our thoughts on that? And were you expecting that connection?
No, not at all. I was thinking they were completely unrelated things. So, like, whenever she did say that's who she had been working for, it was just kind of like me and the character both were like, oh, crap. Oh, no, that's not good. That definitely took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting it.
All right, cool. Well, I think we can kind of start wrapping this one up. Does anybody have any predictions for the next episode? What do you think is going to happen next?
A nap.
Whoa.
A nap?
I think a nap is probably going to happen simply because our magic boy is out of magic and is hurt real bad. And Z's head hurts real bad. And things will probably progressively go downhill for the group as a whole if Z doesn't get a nap relatively soon. I'm excited if it does or does not happen. So I think we will also probably steal the Shrine of Dabamot, more than likely.
Yeah.
Which will be fun. And probably pick up some eggs, a potato, some avocados.
You better. She's hungry.
She hasn't eaten in 4 days, according to Noss.
Here's my vision for next episode. Fodder. Summoning a hill. Riding the goat horse thing from Princess Mononoke. Justin knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He rides down the hill, briefcase in hand. The announcers, that's Fodder's music. Oh my God, is this really happening? Is this really happening? He comes in, he cashes in the Money in the Bank contract, pins.
Which sucks, because we needed that for boat tickets.
We did need it for boat tickets. But what is cool, though, is he pins Z clean, center of the ring.
Mm.
New world champion. I also think that Ellis will go blind and die.
Mm. In the next episode?
Yeah, in the next few, at least. Might be a few episodes.
Spoiler alert, dude. We don't want people to know what wild magic means.
It just means you go blind and die.
He has to roll he rolls a like D20 every time he does anything.
And on a nat one, I go blind and die.
He just died.
I also think we might take a nap, but I think that sometime in the next next episode, we are going to finally maybe see something about my character subclass. We may still mm-hmm. be holding off on it though. I honestly, like, it might be fun to wait until like episode 39 or something like that to do Ooh. Remotely anything.
It might be fun.
Like, Ron didn't know that he had a subclass until like episode 50. So like
Beth May.
Yeah, Beth May.
Yeah. I also don't think she was using sneak attack until... I don't think she ever really used sneak attack.
She used it once in, like, episode, like, 6 and did it wrong. And then she used it once again, like, in the season finale or something, and that's it.
Hey, it worked, though. It worked.
It did work. But what worked even better is hiding in your own pants. It worked so well that the DM had to take her pants away. Magic. Just like,
yeah.
Genius. So I do have a question for you all. So obviously it was revealed in the middle of the most recent episode how Beetle survived the gelatinous cube, which was getting into a bottle of invulnerability. But it seems like you guys are having a bit of a hard time keeping track of where Beetle is and isn't. Do you guys have a plan for that in the future?
Put her down.
A bell? Maybe?
See, the thing is, it's a cat. So, like, I feel like any actual plan will just, like, not work. I feel like we just kind of have to deal with it, like, personally. Like, just, like, with a cat, you just kind of have to just learn to live with it.
Could we turn Beetle into one of our, like, into a familiar?
Well, Beetle is a familiar.
No, she's just a cat.
She's a cat, man. He adopted
her. She's his
her.
Best friend.
I thought she was... She's gonna adopt by the end of this.
Yeah, that's the... that's the whole... Hold on. Did you think she was made of magic this whole time?
Yes. I've been calling her familiar the entire time.
Behind my back?
No, to your face.
Drew's not a coward.
You said in the first episode to Dr. Lau, without lying, that she is just a cat. You did not say familiar.
No. Z knows she's a familiar. He just thinks that doesn't really make any difference. Like, it's not a magical creature. He didn't summon an imp. He summoned a cat. So it's just a magic cat. But it's just a cat. It just appeared out of nowhere one day, and it just stuck around for, like, 15 years.
Yeah, that is also a thing. So, Beetle is a normal cat, but how old is she? Because hasn't he had her for a long time now?
It's not that long. Like, she's probably, like, she's maybe, like, 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, she's just a normal cat that can definitely be harmed by gelatinous cubes normally.
We were trying very hard to find her. that wouldn't have been our fault.
I mean, I'm not saying that it would ever really be your fault. I'm just wondering if you guys have a plan for next time.
Can I cast Blink on somebody else?
I don't think so.
What about if we get a really big vase?
He also can't cast Shield on wine, Noah. So where is this line going to be drawn?
There. No. What would the, I'm curious about this vase idea. Do you just, are you setting the vase up like a decoy? So like,
no,
you're saying like, ooh, look at this vase that you could knock over.
There's a really excellent video I'll send you later of an old movie where these men, I believe it's some sort of Eastern film. And they're these men, they come into this house, and then this child, they're like, you, and they point at him, and then he jumps up and leaps at them and like this like perfect like long like leap thing, and one of them has a vase in their arm and the other one is standing still, and then as the kid flies towards him, he grabs the kid and he folds him in half and then folds him in half from there and then folds him in half one more time and then stuffs him inside the vase and puts the lid on it. Okay, and that's what I'd like to do to Beetle. Well,
only experts can do that.
No, I know, but the thing is, like, experts got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I just feel like that guy probably has a doctorate to get that good
in kid folding. Know, like. And he's like, and now graduating summa cum laude in in kid folding, the only person in his class, Dave.
And look at that. Ransom's bringing his graduation back up.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
We could get her a small box. We could get Beetle a small box. Just set it somewhere.
Yeah. It's like a pet carry-on. It's like a pet carrying case.
Yeah.
And we just...
Yeah, but it can't look like that because cats hate those.
But then she's sick.
I think we could just get her, like we could make her, like, essentially a like leather set of like armor that just has a bunch of metal spikes going outward, and just like put that on her every time she's in danger, so she's just normal, but if anybody touches her, she's like a hedgehog. That could work.
Just make it even harder for Ellis to pick her up.
Yeah,
just a bunch of porcupine quills.
Well, in a way that would make it easier because you could just like send it.
All right, boys, let's wrap this one up. Does anybody have any parting thoughts?
I'm plumb out of thoughts.
If you or anyone you love was negatively affected by how hard you laughed today, please just know that we are not financially liable, and we will not be paying for we will not be giving compensation.
Not all cats are invincible.
So at the end of Barbie movies, they always have like a quote from Barbie that's like the moral behind the movie.
Mm.
And I think that we should do that now in our breakdown videos. And specifically, I think that today's best one is not all cats are invulnerable. Quote, Barbie.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
People are rolling. People are dying from that joke. No, I've killed hundreds of thousands, millions even.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.